This episode is also brought to you by Odmos Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider delivered. Order today at 503-263-8444 or visit them online at odmos.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. A growing and increasingly vocal group of Canby residents is opposing the long-delayed plans to develop a dog park on 6 acres of city-owned property on Northeast Territorial Road, citing concerns about safety and increased traffic, as well as the project's cost, location, and environmental impacts. One of the project's opponents, Kara Hawkins, voiced her objections at the Canby City Council's meeting on Wednesday and presented a petition signed by more than 360 Canby residents opposed to the location. The Territorial Road location, or Three Sisters Ranch property as it is sometimes known, includes a total of 34.5 acres and was purchased by the city in December 2008 for future expansion of the wastewater treatment plant and park development. Its southernmost 6 acres have been tabbed for a dog park for at least a decade, since the members of a city-appointed dog park advisory committee identified it as the best available site at that time. City officials signed an interdepartmental agreement to exchange land and develop the dog park at that location in August 2012, but the project was eventually shelved due to lack of funding, especially for parks maintenance throughout the city's existing system. Today, opponents believe the property is no longer suitable for a fenced dog park, with Hawkins saying she could think of no good reason to build it at that location other than that was the plan 12 years ago. The territorial location is too expensive, not safe, will interfere with the traffic for the fire department and public works, will add congestion to an already busy intersection, will add activity to an area that is desperately needed by the wildlife displaced by all the recent growth, and will add another dog park on top of an already existing one, she said. The project's opponents include the city's Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, which passed a motion this week formally objecting to the Territorial Road location and urging the council to vet other sites, including the State Park and the Honda Pits, a 14-acre city-owned property on Northwest 3rd Avenue near the Canby Skate Park and Canby Police Department. Council President Tracy Hensley and Councilor Sean Varwig also opposed developing the park on Territorial Road, saying this week that they believe the discussion about location should be reopened and that alternative sites should be considered. The council owes it to the citizens of Canby to properly vet the other, much better suited locations, Hawkins said on Wednesday. You owe it to yourselves if you have any hope of holding onto your seats to take a real hard look at exactly what you are doing here. In terms of costs, city officials say the $900,000 price tag for the dog park was the amount that was budgeted for the project, but may not be what is actually spent. The figure contains more than $100,000 in contingency funds, as well as an $80,000 reimbursement of the city's sewer funds that were originally used to purchase the property. The most current estimate we have for the dog park at the Three Sisters property location is $770,000, City Administrator Scott Archer told Now Hear This Canby this week. This estimate is based on full build-out with everything included and includes all optional items. Though no formal price comparisons or engineering estimates have been done for other sites, Archer said city staff is not aware of any reason that building the dog park on the Three Sisters property would be significantly more expensive than doing so at any other similarly undeveloped site in Canby. The only known cost difference attributable to this site is the repayment from the dog park project to the sewer fund for reimbursement of property purchased by restricted funds, Archer said. Canby Planning Commissioner Chris Calkins, who said he was speaking as a private citizen, on Wednesday said the city should move forward with the park at the planned location. He drew comparisons to Maple Street Park, the Canby Swim Center, and Canby Fine Arts Center, three projects that he said faced similar opposition from what he termed a very vocal, angry minority. You know, and some of you have been on City Council for a long time, that no matter where you put this park, there will be 20 angry people here who don't want it near them or think it's in the wrong place or think it's too expensive, he said. The history of Canby is filled with that. Reopening the discussion about location would only further delay the project, he said, something he believes has been a problem with some of the city's more recent park development efforts. It feels like things are kind of slow walked to death, he said. Not a lot of things are happening, and when it does happen, it's not great. We've got a skate park that's not used next to a police station. We were the last mid-sized city to get a splash pad, and it's kind of lame and in a terrible spot. I would implore you not to reopen the conversation. The spot was identified years ago. The city's done all the work. You're almost there. I don't know why you would stop it now. Get it across the finish line. The City of Canby will host an open house at 6 p.m. Wednesday, September 28th, to discuss the dog park and collect public input. It will include an overview of the design and concept plan and opportunities for public comment. The meeting will take place in the council chambers of the Canby Civic Center, located at 222 Northeast 2nd Avenue. If you have the internet, a telephone, a mobile device, or even a mailing address, you can be a target of scams and other fraudulent attempts to steal your money or personal information. Helping to protect members from these scams is one of DirectLink's top priorities, as Marketing Director Brian Strunk explains. One of the things that makes DirectLink unique is that as a cooperative, we're very invested in the community, Strunk said. We're member-owned, and everything we do is really from that community focus. Our aim is always putting customers first and making sure they're taken care of. Combating scammers and even simply staying on top of the latest trends and fraud attempts takes a concerted effort. All of our employees go through regular cybersecurity training because there are so many creative ways to exploit weaknesses in networks, Strunk explained. It can be through social engineering, malware, spyware, and so on. And these scams can come through email, phone calls, texts, sometimes even a person knocking on your door. As a longtime telecommunications provider, DirectLink is particularly sensitive to scammers, using some of the very same technologies it provides access to in attempts to defraud its members. I think that's one reason we do take it so seriously, is that we are a service provider and we know how impactful it can be to the people who are victimized, he said. As a service provider, we have to look out for folks. DirectLink, along with the Federal Trade Commission and other agencies tasked with protecting consumers from fraud, stress that anyone can be the victim of a scam, regardless of age, race, gender, socioeconomic status, education, or other factors. Some of these folks are really good at what they do, Strunk said. It can be tricky. They've gotten very sophisticated about how they get you from point A to point B, and anyone can be successful to this. It happens to everyone at some point where you go, oh no, I should not have clicked on that. Consumers should be aware of, and likely already have some experience with, some of the common tactics that email, SMS, and robocall scammers will use, often attempting to create a sense of urgency, such as claiming the victim's service is about to be shut off, or that they are being investigated by the IRS. Many of these bad actors will claim to represent legitimate government agencies, businesses, or organizations, including DirectLink. Much like an amateur detective, being on the lookout for such scams requires consumers to look for clues that a communication may not be legitimate, such as typos or incorrect URLs, and to exercise extreme caution before sharing or confirming personal information. If anything seems suspicious, hang up and call DirectLink directly to ensure you're talking with the right people. If the call is legitimate, the caller will understand. If it seems suspicious or too good to be true, it probably is, Strunk said. There are certain things that we're just not going to do. We're not going to call you out of the blue and ask for your financial information. We're your service provider, so we pretty much have what we need already. We don't need to come to our members and ask for confidential information. While DirectLink can't chase down every scam out there, consumers can stay safe by staying informed, being careful, and following a few basic tips. There are bad actors everywhere, but I still like to think there are a lot of good people in the world, and we help each other out, Strunk said. And as much as we can, DirectLink is going to be there to help our members out with these things. More information about scams and ways that DirectLink works to keep its members and their information secure is available on the cooperative's website at directlink.coop/support/scams. If you have questions or need to report something to DirectLink, call them at 503-266-8111, or you can email them at hereforyou@directlink.coop. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif and Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and our Instagram at Cougar Country POD. Canby's unbeaten start to the 2022 season came to a screeching halt on Friday as the visiting Bend Lava Bears rolled over an injury-plagued Cougar squad, missing All-State running back Tyler Canold and other key players 35-0 to drop to 3-1 on the season. The number 2-ranked Lava Bears came into Friday night's game firing on all cylinders, having allowed only 7 points in their first 3 games while averaging nearly 48. They wasted little time setting the tone at Cougar Stadium, forcing Canby into a 3-and-out in its opening drive before punching their first score into the end zone. The Lava Bears piled up 320 yards of total offense, most of it on the ground, in a game that triggered a running clock throughout the fourth quarter and ended before 9 p.m. Meanwhile, the run-heavy Cougs keenly felt the absence of Canold, who led the state in rushing yards before injuring his ankle in the opening kickoff last weekend against Beaverton, being held to minus 19 yards on the ground by the swarming Bend defense. Canby's backfield was filled with Lava Bears all night, overwhelming a young offensive line that is still a work in progress after losing 3 all-league first-teamers to graduation last year. With junior quarterback Gage Mullar also out to injury for the second straight game, fill-ins Parker Ackerman and Kellen Oliver impressed head coach Jimmy Joyce with their poise under pressure. Parker Ackerman deserves a lot of credit, Joyce said. He is our Swiss Army knife and a big-time player and leader. We have asked him to do a lot of different things, and he is always willing. He is also playing far from healthy, but you wouldn't know that. He battled hard and fought through. He is a real warrior. Joyce, who was also on his second day back after being absent due to illness this week, applauded all of his players for their guts, toughness, and courage under fire. Definitely a learning experience for a young group of guys, he said. All the credit should go to Bend. They are a great team with a great senior class. We are obviously facing a lot of adversity, but adversity reveals character, and I like our character. When I spoke to the guys after, I didn't see disappointment or sadness. I saw hunger and anger because they know they are better. That is a big step in the right direction. Joining Canold and Millar on the injured list were senior linebackers Davis Hagen, whose presence on the offensive line and on defense were sorely missed, and Walker Conroy. Playmaking junior wide receiver and defensive back Cohen Hall saw some action after getting cleared, including a spectacular end zone interception in the first quarter, but was re-injured early. We also had a number of guys who played at 80 to 85%, Joyce said. By the time league play starts in 2 weeks, we should be healthy and ready to go. One bright spot for Canby was the emergence of sophomore running back Taylor Fenning, who posted several nice gains in the first carries of his varsity career on Friday. And Canby's defense, while shorthanded and overmatched, held the high-powered Lava Bear offense to 12 points below its season average. "We definitely made them work for it," Joyce said. "In other games, it was a lot of 2 and 3 play drives. The offense they run is challenging when run right, and they run it right and very well. Almost all their starters are seniors who have grown up running it, and it shows." Alas, an easy bounce back game is not in the cards for Canby, as they will head to Southridge High School in Beaverton Friday to face the undefeated Skyhawks 4-0, and kickoff is at 7 p.m.
I'm Roz Mason, Democratic candidate for Senate District 26. I'm deeply honored to announce I've also been endorsed by the Independent Party of Oregon. Next time, I'll talk inflation. Here's some context before my next ad. If the income distribution from 1947 to 1974 had held steady, regular people's income would be double today. Instead, income inequality exploded. The top 1% of Americans have taken $50 trillion from the bottom 90%. That's from the title of a Time magazine article you can find online. How did it happen? Wall Street finance deregulation, massive stock buybacks for executive salaries and shareholder profits, overtime rules and the right to unionize being chipped away, allowing mergers and acquisitions, so now a few companies have near monopolies. We can do better. Until next time, this was paid for by Mason for Oregon 21968.
Wow, Frankie, that sounds great. I didn't know that you could play the kalimba.
Yeah, well, I've been practicing a lot. I'm really hoping to make it onto the 434th season of America's Got Talent.
Well, good luck with that, man.
Yeah, hey, I was actually just about to check my email and see if they responded.
Uh-huh. Yeah?
Oh.
What?
Well, they hated it.
No way.
Yeah, they said it was really bad, but like not in like a funny way, so they're not interested.
Dang. What song did you end up playing?
The same one I was playing earlier. Listen, here's what I uploaded.
Oh.
What?
I mean, I kind of like it. It's like a dark remix meets Star Wars sort of sound.
No. That's not what I recorded at all. How did this happen?
Dude, it's like I always tell you. That choppiness you're hearing is because your internet provider's speeds are on the slower side. Everyone focuses on downloading, but upload speeds are just as critical for students, remote workers, would-be reality talent show stars, really anybody who uses the internet to share their passion with the world.
Is there like a show called America's Got Bad Internet that I could audition for?
Maybe. Or you could just switch to DirectLink. They've got the most reliable upload speeds to pass any audition test. For uploads at the speed of learning, visit www.directlink.coop/internet or give them a call at 503-266-8111.
All right, on the Canby Conversation today, we are delighted to be just taking a look at some other Canby athletics that are going on here in the fall season. First up, we have Coach TJ Schlatter of the Canby volleyball team. Hey, Coach.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I can't talk very good. I'm losing my voice.
Yeah, well, you've been out supporting the Cougars and yelling instructions and encouragement. Am I right?
Yeah.
It's been a busy season. We just jumped right back into it. We've already had a bunch of matches. And tell us how it's been going so far.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of matches. We're actually halfway through the season already.
Yep.
Which seems crazy.
Insane.
It's been interesting because we joined a new league.
Right. New classification.
Yeah, new classification. But we've been doing well. We're, 7-2?
9-3. 6-2 in our league.
So we're having a lot of success and a few moments where we have a lot to learn. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah. We've mostly been, you know, obviously facing other 5A opponents, but we've had a couple of 6A, right? We had Tigard. They're still 6A, aren't they?
Yeah, Tigard in a tournament. We didn't get to go five sets. Like, okay. We got a three. So, and they squeaked that out against us, but it was fun. It was a fun match.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we played, I think, a Loa. I don't remember who else we played at that tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. Has the change of leagues and change of classification been difficult? Obviously, you're having to learn, you know, some new opponents. Where's the gym, right?
Well, that's been the most difficult part for sure. Like, bus driver, we're pulling out our Google Maps.
Yeah,
we don't know where to go. And last night, we walked all the way around the gym to find the front door
for Centennial
on the backside. Yeah,
yeah.
So we're like, where are we going?
Some of these places, Putnam, and places we haven't really been to before. Yeah,
new spots. Competition level wise, it's not as strong of a league. Three Rivers was one of the toughest leagues, arguably, I think, in the state.
Yeah.
I honestly miss the competition of it, but there's something to be said about winning.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask the girls, they're enjoying being successful. And, you know, that hard work they're putting in the gym is showing on the court. So,
yeah. Yeah. We want them to be, you know, obviously, like, in an ideal world, we just go against the top competition. But that's the reason we have different classifications, right? Is the bigger schools are easier, you know, able to field these teams in smaller schools, and we are at the size that we are. And it's something also to be said for putting them in the best situation, right, where they have the best odds of succeeding and not just running, you know, sending them out into a rushing machine.
I have conflicting feelings because I, as a competitor, want to play the best.
Yeah,
I'm losing, and it's better volleyball. It's faster pace.
Yeah.
But for this team right now, this is a perfect league for us.
Yeah.
We have some stiff competition in LaSalle and Wilsonville.
Yeah.
And we actually played them a lot tougher than I thought we were going to. And then we've got some teams where we're controlling the pace of the games, or we're supposed to be controlling the pace of the games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the team the characteristics of it. You mentioned that the makeup and where they're kind of at right now, this is a good spot for them to be. Obviously, a few years back, we had one of our best seasons ever, a history making for Canby High School, finishing third in the state at 6A. Had some really incredible and rare talents coming through and on that team, obviously, that have gone on to great things in Division I athletics. You don't have a Ruby Kaiser or a Daily McClellan every year, unfortunately. So
no, we're back to reality now. The reality is, I don't have those kind of players, but I have a lot of kids, who are working hard. They work hard. They're great kids. They're fun to be in the gym with, and they're doing well. I have a lot of seniors. I have six seniors.
Okay. And that's a little unusual
for me. It's a lot because they all start and play in some form. So looking to next year, I'm already panicking because you're losing this whole group of kids.
Yeah.
But for this year, it gives us a lot of experience coming back out on the floor. So even though we're not as big and physical as some of these other teams, we're smarter. We have better ball control. We hang in matches against the big D1 athletes because these kids are fighters.
Yeah.
So it's fun as a coach, from a coaching point of view, it's fun.
Yeah. Coach, can you walk us through your roster a little bit, and maybe your starters or seniors or whoever, but some of the girls that have really, been impressive so far this season and contributed a lot to the success that we've had?
Sure. I have Chloe Annis. She's a senior. She's been on varsity since she was a freshman. Mm. She got to be, she didn't get to play, but she was there that year with all those kids. So she's now a senior. She's kind of our go-to hitter. She's playing in the middle. She is kind of tied with one other player for like kills on the season. And we rely on her a ton.
Yeah.
So she's our power. She's the kid that brings the power. So yeah.
She's awesome.
Fun. Yeah. My other outside hitter that is right there with Chloe is Rayanne Shedler, and she's actually a junior. And her, she's Chloe brings the power. Ray brings what is the word I want? She's smart. She's got shots. She's she moves the ball around. She brings the finesse, I guess.
Yeah.
And her and Chloe have very identical stats right now, which is great. My other outside hitter is Shannon Milter. She's a senior also. I think this is her third year on varsity, maybe second, I'm not sure. And she's also one of those go-to outside hitters that provides ball handling. She's smaller. She's a little undersized, so she has to be smarter and quicker.
Yeah.
So those athletes are fun to me.
Yeah, yeah, scrappy.
Scrappy, yeah. Let's see. We have Jordan Bladel. She's a junior. She's playing in the middle for us. It's her second year on varsity. And she's holding down the middle spot remarkably well and continuing to improve. My setter is a senior, Natalie Just. It's her second year with us. She was a transfer 2 years ago.
Yeah.
She's running the, she's the one in charge, and she's doing a fantastic job of putting these hitters in great situations and basically just running our offense. Awesome. And then I've got a lot of DSs that are out there playing. Ava Carroll, she's playing Libero. She's super quick. She's super competitive. She brings that fire. And then I've got Jenna Schmidt and Carly Lewis, both seniors also, that are out there on the floor as DSs providing defense that we need. The biggest thing that this team is doing right now that I'm so proud of them is they're serving teams off the floor right now.
Yeah.
We had 19 ace serves in our match last night.
Wow.
So that's a lot.
Yeah. Where does that come from, you think? Is that just something you focus on a lot in practice? Or I know one thing that stands out to me is a lot of these girls are multi-sport athletes, just tremendous athletics in a lot of the girls on your roster.
There's a couple of basketball players. There's football players.
And
there's, I think being a competitor, serving is one of those skills we talk about. It's the one skill in volleyball you have complete control over.
Yeah.
Literally, you're not relying on someone else to do something first. You are in charge.
Yeah.
So we work on it, but also we work on being able to serve to certain people. You find a weakness, or we do a lot of short serving. So we pop balls, you push passers deep in the court and they back up, and then you serve short and it drops on the floor, and then they move up. And so you kind of play that cat and mouse game with them.
Yeah, play chess a little bit.
These girls have really bought into it. It's been fun.
Yeah. Awesome. One thing that always impresses me about Canby that I wanted to ask you about is the fans. Right. Volleyball isn't always, and at every school, one of those ones where you necessarily expect to have the crowds packed and the kids wearing the Cougar flags. Right. And running up and down the court. But it happens here in Canby. So, what do you think about that?
We have the absolute best. We have the absolute best student section. They're like, you can't see it. Can you see this picture?
Oh, yeah. And that's what you do see at the Canby volleyball games. The student section is just packed.
It's packed, and they're loud, and they're awesome. A lot of them will sometimes travel with us. Because of how, like, we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday games, everything's crazy. And
right.
Sort of
it's not like, it's not, although football hasn't always been Fridays this season either. But
we lose students, like, maybe not traveling to our away games because they're busy doing the home games, because they're great fans for all the sports.
Right. They show up.
They show up, and we're winning this year in volleyball, and that's fun. And so they're showing up, and it's a culture We sing our fight song at the end of every match. That's something I started way back when I first came here.
Yeah.
Kind of to thank your fans when you're done.
Yeah.
So I made the girls go sing the fight song to their parents at the time because we didn't have all these fans.
Yeah.
And they hated it, but it became a thing.
Yeah.
Right? And so
which
now,
I love, like every Canby student knows the words of
I
had no idea what the words of my high school fight song. I know we had one, but I couldn't tell you.
It's on the wall in the gym. So
yeah.
You
can cheat a little bit if you need to.
Yeah. But these kids, like my idea is like the girls would like spread out, face the stand. These kids start clapping. I don't even get to talk to my team because they start clapping. Yeah. And fight song happens and they just all do it together.
And that's win or lose.
Win or lose. Yeah. We just kind of change the words at the end because it's supposed to say we'll win tonight and we say we fought tonight.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We just there like you if you lost, you don't want to say we'll win.
Yeah.
But that's been super cool. And I hope more of them will start doing it after their games. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. Okay. Well, the last thing I wanted to ask you about is obviously, like you said, we're about halfway through. What are you kind of looking at? Any games or matches you're really looking forward to? Or just kind of what are your thoughts on the rest of the season as we go forward? It looks pretty, you know, at least at this point, barring injuries or whatever, we're looking like we're probably going to see some postseason action.
Yeah. Well, in this 5A league, they take the top four in our league.
Okay.
Our goal is to be in the top three, and we're right on track for that. We have a big match on Monday. We play LaSalle, who's second right now. They have two big D1 future players on their team, and we went 5 with them at their place.
Yeah.
They're in second, solid second. So that's a huge match on Monday to see if we can pull that one out.
Yeah.
And Wilsonville, same. I think we can compete with them. I don't know if we have quite the firepower, but hopefully finishing at least in the top three and getting into postseason play and then see what you can do. Like we experienced that a few years ago. We weren't supposed to go far, so you never know.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Looks like we'll have Wilsonville on October 12th. Yeah.
It's like a double duel. That at their place. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Those are the big two and the rest of them we just can't mess around with.
Yeah. Yeah. Just follow the game plan, take it seriously, show up.
We played Putnam on Tuesday and they're good. Mm-hmm. And it was a battle the first set and then we served them off the floor and they fell apart. So I expect the next matchup to be very hard. So that would be another big match is making sure we beat them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hey, Coach, one more thing. I wasn't necessarily, but we were talking about the crowd and kind of what it's like at home games and whatnot. One thing that's been a you know topic of discussion in Oregon around high school athletics more and more, and this is not in any way specific to Canby, but is the difficulty of finding officials, right? And they kind of seems to be rising, you know, bad behavior from parents, from coaches, from players and whatnot. Just kind of wanted to give you an opportunity. That's not something I've ever seen in Canby. But how do you guys kind of address it as coaches? Do you put any kind of emphasis on this is the way we do sportsmanship and stuff like that when obviously you're not necessarily in control of parents and what happens in the stands, but with our players and your fellow coaches?
Well, we address it in parent meeting. Like you get those four roles, you're a player, you're a coach, you're an official, or you're a parent, and you only get to do one. So, but we address that. We talk with the girls, like bad calls, that's my job to deal with and their job to play. And if they're out there whining about the calls, it sets a bad example and then it feeds into your crowd. Yeah. So we talk about that. And then our OSAA they will absolutely stop a match right now if anything is happening. And I will have to go address it or administrator and they will not resume until it's taken care of.
Yeah.
So they're definitely cracking down on it, just making sure keeps it healthy and keep it in the spirit of competition.
Yeah.
So, but I think it starts with us, like the players on the floor.
Yeah.
If they're all yelling at an official about a missed call, the crowd's going to start yelling. So I feel like if we set a good example, then hopefully that feeds off into our fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly. A hope. It doesn't always work like that.
But... Well, no, but totally. I mean, if you see and it's so obvious that, yeah, you can feed into that energy in a negative way. And that does happen. And you kind of talk about how you tell them to fight against that, but you can also take that energy and, do a positive. So
you can use it and turn it around, but really from the girls' perspective, their job is to go out and play.
Yeah.
And if they get so caught up in the calls or if they put themselves in a situation that call makes or breaks the game, that's kind of their fault, and they should never have been in that situation, hopefully.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we try to go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I know it can be a tough situations can happen when passions are high. You've probably experienced that at times. But like I said, I feel like you guys do a really good job with that. So thank you for that. Thank you for all you do for our athletes, coach, and thanks for your time today.
Just say really quick,
please.
Nominated by OSAA for a sportsmanship nomination that was just given to us for showing good sportsmanship during the match.
That's awesome. That was our volleyball team or just our athlete? Oh, that's awesome.
The volleyball team.
Yeah.
And it's sent to us from OSAA. I believe it's nominated by officials that experience or see whatever form of sportsmanship that they're looking for. So it was pretty cool because it got sent to us and the superintendent saw it and sent us a letter of like, well done. So that I was very proud of the girls for that. Like just they are setting that example.
Yeah. That's amazing. And to get that reinforcement, that's great.
Yeah. So.
All right, coach. Well, thanks so much and best of luck on the rest of your season.
Thanks, Tyler.
Hey, Tyler, read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually, I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome. What's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these two kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting, though. Who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor, starts with like an S or something, Sass, Sos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Canby.
Yeah, guys, this local independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Canby. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcanby.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
All right. Just tell us what the prospects and how the team's kind of looking so far at this early point in the season.
It's pretty encouraging on both sides. Our girls are real green, real inexperienced, but they're very willing.
Yeah.
And they're still figuring things out. A lot of them I didn't see for the first 2 or 3 weeks, but they're out there now, and their attitude's good and their work habits are good. But, they're going to be the most improved team, and they're a good group to work with.
Yeah.
Our boys have a lot more experience, a little more background. Some of them went to a running camp over the summer, and they came in fitter. Of course, Maddox is our leader, both on the race course and warming up, cooling down, and that type of thing. And he'll be a top kid in the league and one of the top kids in the state. But we've got, Jack Joyce right behind him. And then we've got a pretty good pack of five there that meet to meet, they step it up and run well. So it's good, but both groups have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And that was just what we saw today at the meet here at Mooloolah River Strait Park. You had Maddox leading the pack, Jack right behind him, and then, like you said, a pack of about four
pack,
to five.
A pack of about five
yeah.
that are all pretty solid.
Ryan and Andrew, yeah.
Yeah, Andrew had a real good race.
Yeah.
A couple of other ones had a tough race and maybe a side ache or whatever. But,
yeah.
You just got to work through those things and look to the future. And our future on both sides looks good. We're not, we're basically starting over on the girl side.
Yeah.
And our top girl, unfortunately, Caitlin Dolman, she's dealing with a IT band issue. And
oh, okay.
She didn't race today. And, she has a good day and then it bothers her. And we're trying to get her over that. And hopefully she'll be ready by district, hopefully to race. And she could potentially be in the top seven, which would qualify her individually for state.
Yeah.
But rest of our girls, are just real nice girls.
Learning the ropes.
Learning the ropes and, figuring things out.
Yeah. We talked about Maddox a little bit. Can you talk just a little bit more about him, what you kind of see from him as some of his sort of standout qualities, either in terms of leadership or his running?
Yeah, just a good example, and I like the fact that he sort of thanked, at the senior night, he thanked some of the seniors that have, kids that are out of our program now.
Graduated.
That have graduated, but they set a good example. They sort of were good leaders for him, and
Tommy
I think... Tommy
O'Neill,
Matthew Powell before that, and you go all the way back to Mark Weber, 37 years ago, we've always had, somebody that knows sort of what it takes to be successful, and it'll set the example and help other kids, not put them down or anything else. So it's... it's a good situation going the right direction.
Yeah.
But it's not a immediate, response. It's
right.
It's a delayed gratification type of sport where you've got to invest a lot of time and effort. And then you benefit from it.
Yeah. And those changes, like you say, are gradual, not something you see immediately.
You can't just snap your fingers and have it happen.
Yeah.
But I see us, going the right direction on both sides, which is very encouraging.
It
was even last spring for track, we only had 20-some girls, and you just don't cover the events. But we've got a lot of, young girls. Some of them have done a little bit of cross country in middle school, but so many of them are just starting. But they're going to do nothing but get better.
Yeah. Big thing I wanted to ask you, Coach, is the move to 5A this year. New league, new classification. You obviously have a lot of experience with, you're seeing a lot of new opponents, right? You had a lot more experience with our Three Rivers League opponents and folks we would see. One thing that I've seen with 5A and kind of heard about 5A in terms of cross country is it's really just as good, the competition, if not even maybe better at 5A.
Yeah, at the top end,
the cross
that's
country
certainly
is
true.
Tough.
Maybe the top kid in the country is a kid named Tyrone Gorse from Crater.
Yeah.
And he's got a teammate that's a sophomore this year that he broke the national freshman record in the mile last year.
Wow.
And he just took fifth at a big national meet. Tyrone won the meet down in California. So at the top end...
They put in the water down there in Crater, huh?
Yeah, well, they work hard and got some people with talent. But yeah, Crater is super good. They'll be ranked number one all year. And if they stay healthy, they'll be a hard team, to beat. But at the top end, it's just as competitive. In fact, the Three Rivers League right now with the Lakeman kid, I don't know if he's injured or what, but, Maddox was, sixth at our pre-district meet in the 5A, and he was sixth last year as a junior in the 6A. So at the top end, it's just as good.
Yeah.
Individually and team-wise. The big difference I see is that the 6A is deeper. The worst 6A team is a lot better than the worst 5A team. There's some 5A teams that don't field full teams and that type of thing. But it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
And that's true of all sports. If you think because we go 5A, it's going to be easier.
Yeah.
It's not going to. And I think our kids know that. They can look at the results. Good job, Lucas. Way to be tough. Good job, Lucas. Yeah. So, So yeah, it's they're just differences that like Ben Weiniger with the AD, he and I are talking about it. You know, that like here they just run a boys race and a girls race, and probably if I was boss of the world, we probably would have run a novice 3K JV for everybody. Good job.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Get some water. Yeah. And but you know, we'll adjust and we'll be fine. But yeah, it's not. It's not going to be, you know, just clear sailing because we're in 5A.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Is Crater in Arley?
No, Crater's way down in the south.
Right.
Wilsonville's got two real good runners. Milwaukee's got a kid that ran 14:35 in 5K as a junior in high school.
Wow.
Our school record's 15:30.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Wilsonville has a kid. Tommy O'Neill won state last year at 152. Well, Wilsonville has a kid that was at Wilsonville, and then he went to, like, Utah or Colorado last year where they ran 148.
Wow.
In the 800.
Yeah.
And he's there now.
Wow.
And they've got two real good ones.
So. Yeah.
But by the end of the year, we plan on the boys' side competing for the championship.
Yeah.
Now, whether we get it or not,
right,
will be another story. And our girls, we plan on being a lot better than we were at the start of the year.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Great. Thanks, Coach. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to see you here. All right. Appreciate it.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or that baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't, like, animal-related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest-running, locally-owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately, like, caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.